Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
has been declined. Your unemployment benefits ran out 2 weeks ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
Check left. 2 weeks ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money. Bad credit holding you back. Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And for this fabulous Saturday, September 4th, Labor Day weekend, we are broadcasting live from the HQ Real Estate Investment Offices right here in sunny, breezy today, Scottsdale, Arizona. Thank you so much for joining us. We are so excited to have you. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, your money mentor, your hostess with the financial mostest, Heather Wagenhalls. And this Saturday, as well as every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth radio program and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone manage their finances and attitudes. It's really important. For the dual purpose of achieving financial wellness today and financial independence for themselves and their families for the future. And have we hit it out of the ballpark this week on that one? Let me tell you. In order to help you achieve instant financial wellness, we are so fortunate to have on our Investor's Edge segment the ever-popular, uber-famous, super-skilled, talk-about-money mentor, T. Harv Eker, the Millionaire's Mentor, author of the best-selling worldwide book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. He is going to be joining us today, and let me tell you, it'll be worth the price of admission, folks. I'm telling you, no amount of money is too steep for what you're going to learn. And we're doing a two-part series with Harv, and I'm so excited about it. He's joining us this weekend and next weekend. So we get our own mini Millionaire Mind Intensive with the Master. And he is going to help us identify the garbage that we were programmed with and how to get rid of that. How to just extinguish it and forever change our lives mentally. And what do we know? Once we change our minds, our wallets will follow when it comes to our money. It's amazing how that works, but it's true. And to back up what I've been saying this whole time, I am bringing third-party verification today with the Millionaire Mentor, T. Harv Eker. So I am so excited. We got a great broadcast. Plus, we have our regularly scheduled segments, our Millionaire Minute, Minutes on Your Money, and the ever-popular, effervescent Coco Brown, famous comedian, our Unlock Your Wealth protege, will be joining us in the second hour as we go through this week's key, which is Remember Real Estate. It's an exciting time to be thinking about real estate investment. And there's a variety of factors that are saying now is better than later. Interest rates aren't going to hang out this low for too much longer because we have to allow the markets to affect what's going on. And the government can't keep suppressing interest rates artificially. So you need to take advantage of them while they're here. But are you ready for real estate? That's the question that will be answered in today's second half during our Keys to Riches segment, where this week's key is Remember Real Estate. So we're going to go over that with Coco. We're going to talk about last week and how she did on her credit report review. Did she find inaccuracies? And if so, did she move to correct them? What is she doing about it? So we had a really powerful segment last week on credit. So this week we're going to figure it all out. I'm so excited. So, boy, I'm exhausted already just from that big intro. Oh, and I totally spaced it. In addition to Mr. Ecker's appearance here on the broadcast, he is also giving listeners to our show an incredible, never heard of before deal to attend his Millionaire Mind Intensive. And this is worldwide, okay, because he has workshops all over the world. If you are a listener of this broadcast, you can go to a special webpage set up just for you for Unlock Your Wealth listeners to get to go for you and a friend. I recommend a spouse, because the person that you deal with intimately financially should probably be the one that you take, especially because, guess what? You don't have to pay for them. That's right. It's not just you that gets to go free, but you and someone you care about that you want to make sure that their money files are right will get free tickets to an upcoming T. Harv Eker seminar anywhere in the world. All you have to do is go visit this web link. If you don't sign up here with our special login, you won't get the deal. You'll have to pay big bucks, and I think it's like $1,200. So $1,200 free, $1,200 free. I'm thinking I want to go for free. I've already signed up for my tickets for when they come to Arizona, and I hope that you will join me in that and take an opportunity to forever change how you think and feel about money. I'm so excited about this. So the magic website, www.millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth. Now, if you're listening from the Blog Talk Radio show page, it's the advertisement in the upper right corner on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/unlockyourwealth. And you click on that ad and it'll take you right there. But if you don't have the ad, right down the website, www.millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth. I'll wait. Go get a pencil. A little Jeopardy music for you. I didn't watch it enough, so like that's my lame attempt at it. But anyway, www.millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth. I'm giving you the keys to the castle, folks. I hope you take advantage of it. Now, we just talked about this week about creating an emergency fund on the midweek update. And for those of you that missed it, you need to go back and download it. It was really good. Plus, we have a featured strategy with bullet points on how to do that. Plus, you'll also have a featured strategy today, later on in the broadcast, during our key segment, for those of you who are key members. And for those of you who don't know about our website, unlockyourwealth.com, we have free memberships available to you. It's called our key membership. And it will get you on your path to financial independence. It will give you access to this week's easing, previous broadcasts, and the featured strategy for the next 24 hours. You can surf on over the website, sign up for free, and download our featured strategy. And today's featured strategy is how to determine if you're ready for real estate investment. But it's not up yet. It'll be up later. So that way you have to hang on my every word and understand how to use the tools first before I give them to you. So it's kind of like the teacher that gives you directions and then hands you out the paper. All right, well, the paper with the strategy on it will be available after the broadcast. That way you have to listen to me so you learn how to do it. But you want to listen anyway because, again, today is a stellar show, part one of a two-part Harv Eker series first off. And then Coco Brown, and like right now, we were talking about emergency funds. From MarketWatch today, savings plan for success. Here are five tips for getting going on your emergency fund savings. So I'm just going to throw these out for you because in case you missed the show, this will wet your whistle so you'll go want to tune in. Focus on expenses and not on your income. If you aim to stash 6 months' worth or more of your gross salary, you may get a little dismayed at the time it'll take. But should you change your eyeballs from income to expenses instead, it becomes more manageable because if you figure out what your bare minimum expenses are, food, rent, mortgage, electricity, car, phone, you only need to save six times that much in order to weather a bad storm. Plus, you want debt service. If you're carrying credit cards, you want to make sure you lump that into the mix. But there's your basic number is what do I need to survive? Like, think of Maslow's hierarchy, food, shelter, and water. Number two, consider it a bill you have to pay. Some people don't think they can afford to save anything, but most people can afford something even if it's a small amount. So if you prioritize it as a bill in your mind, because you're always paying your bills, and you make sure that you pay those on time, but you know what? You got to pay yourself first. One of the greatest books I ever read on money management was The Richest Man in Babylon. It's a little story about this guy who's a chariot maker and how he's always complaining about money, and then he learns through this book, through these series of stories, it's like a little fable, that has the moral of the story at the end, after each chapter, that teaches you how to manage your money, but you got to pay yourself first. I mean, aren't you the most important person to you? Think about it. I mean, yeah, your family's important, but if you don't take care of you, you're not going to be able to take care of everybody else, so you can only subjugate your needs for a certain period of time, not very long. So you got to start taking care of yourself. So you have to make it a priority and pay yourself first. So pay that bill. Number three, start small. If you can only put in $40 a month, it's something. A dollar a day. Think of all the things you waste a dollar a day on. Candy bars, drinks at the soda machine. Take that money and divert it. It doesn't matter how little it is. People worry about, oh, it's not going to be enough. But you know what? A little here, a little there, it all adds up. And remember, when you watch your pennies, your dollars take care of themselves. So it's okay to start small. Number four, insurance will supplement some rainy day funds, so you got to make sure you have it, like disability, car, and home insurance. But like we talked about on Wednesday's broadcast, those things don't kick in for like 12 weeks, so that's why you have to have a minimum of 3 months. Everybody says six, but it's got to start somewhere. So you got to aim for 3 months, because if you're disabled, if you're on workman's comp, it takes 12 weeks before that stuff starts paying off. I almost swore. That's so funny. Never done that on a broadcast. And, haha, still haven't. Yay! Anyway, and this one, I don't agree with. And this one says, consider a home equity line of credit. But you know what? That's why we are where we are, because it's like playing Russian roulette. People took their homes and treated them like they were ATM machines. Mucho no bueno. Very, very bad. So we don't want to get hung up in that. We want to make sure that we are focused on saving and not borrowing more to just perpetuate our indebtedness. So how about five things you need to know about the jobs report? I talked last week that it was important, that it was coming out, and yesterday's data surprised investors and economists alike, suggesting that earlier gloom was too gloomy, but there should still be concerns ahead. And here's what you need to know, okay? Before the jobs report, everybody thought it was going to be terrible about what it said. There were a lot of pessimists predicting a big decline in August, payroll, employment, and expected private employment to show no growth. Now, the report that was released said that the national unemployment rate rose to 9.6, which was expected and reflects more people looking for jobs. Non-farm payrolls fell, and that was expected, but most economists had forecast declines of 100 to 110,000 jobs, mostly because of the release of workers in the U.S. Census, and the lack of private sector growth, but the actual number was only 54,000. But here's what you need to know. Long-term unemployment remains the big problem. Now, while the rate of unemployment is 9.6%, the government also reports another measuring stick that includes people that are marginally attached to the workforce. And that rate was 16.7 in August, and it's changed a little in a year. And this includes discouraged workers and those working part-time who truly want full-time jobs. But all I have to say is this is nothing compared to some other countries. Look at Malaysia. They got like 50% unemployment. So if you're standing next to somebody and you have a job, the likelihood of that guy having one is pretty slim. So, again, that means 80% of people are still employed. Or, well, 84% if you do the math right, because I didn't. So 84% of people are still employed, and the rate of unemployment is less than 10%. So we have to still rejoice and look at the bright side of things. We can sit here and just be like, oh, woe is me, or we can do something about it. And that's the greatest thing about today's guest who's going to be on. I just see he's arrived, and so one of the greatest things is he's going to delete those money files from you. That negativity is just gone. You're not going to do it anymore. Manufacturing is still showing strength, and the Labor Department said that the employment sector dropped 27,000, but most of that had to do with General Motors shifting summer factory retooling schedules, not true unemployment. So the Institute for Supplies Management August report said that employment showed growth. Now, revisions matter. Not really discussed in the payroll numbers were revisions for June and July that are showing a better picture than what was originally thought. Non-farm payrolls were revised higher by 123,000 jobs. And initially, the estimate was a decline of 131, and then it was only 54,000. Now, the word wobbly comes from Global Insights' Nigel Gault, who says that the recovery is still wobbly. He noted a gain of 67,000 private sector jobs is not something to be doing cartwheels about. He says the cut into the unemployment rate requires growth of at least 150,000 new jobs each month. So I say to you, President Obama, start making it favorable for employers to hire and get people back to work, because if you keep taxing the daylights out of the people that are productive and are employing people, they're going to stop doing that. And that means no employment. And last but not least, the stubbornness of jobs picture is not a surprise when the national unemployment rate hits 10%. It's never a one-month wonder. It's part of a longer-term problem. Ronald Reagan came into office in January of 81 with the national unemployment rate at 7.5%. And despite a big tax bill, the rate rose steadily in the first 2 years and topped off at 9% for the first time in 82 and in 10% in September. And it didn't fall below 9 until the next year. So we are going to experience this for a bit. So I'm saying, don't really focus on this. I'm saying, pay attention to your microeconomic perspective, meaning what's going on in your own budgets and your own house. Did you break the budget 2 weeks ago with us and create a healthy savings and spending plan? Did you effectively review your credit report for inaccuracies, determine what you need to pay off and when and how? Because that's what you need to worry about. When you focus on the pennies, the dollars take care of themselves. And if you look at your budget, it doesn't matter what the economy is doing, because it won't affect you when you economy-proof your financial life. And I'm so excited. So excited. Because guess what? The time is near. No. Wait a minute. The time is here. It is that time for our Investor's Edge segment. How about T. Harv Eker? He says, give me 5 minutes and I can predict your financial future for the rest of your life. It's a pretty powerful statement from the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And if you've wondered why some people get rich easily, why others destined for a life of financial struggle, it's the difference found in their education, intelligence, skills, timing, work habits, contacts, luck, or their choices of business or investments. That would be negative, Ghost Rider, because in his groundbreaking Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker states, give me 5 minutes and I'll predict your financial future for the rest of your life. He will do this by identifying what your money and success blueprint are. We all have a personal money blueprint ingrained upon our subconscious minds. And what we're going to learn today from Harv is that most of us had nothing to do with how it got there, but we have everything to do with how we can change it to be successful for the future. So let me welcome T. Harv Eker to the broadcast, everyone.
Harv, welcome to the broadcast. Harv, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, okay. I thought you said hi. I wasn't sure if you were talking to me or to all the listeners, but now I know. It's me. Well, thank you.
It's your turn.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Okay, I appreciate it.
Well, I'm so excited and honored to have you on our broadcast and to be able to bring our listeners not just one show from you, but our two-part series with you. So I'm so excited to have our listeners share in your wealth of knowledge and the secrets of the Millionaire Mind from the Millionaire Mastermind, which is so exciting to me. Now, you went from broke to millionaire in astonishing speed, 3 years. How did you do it?
Well, I guess I've been trying for many, 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 many years to quote-unquote make it, and nothing seemed to work for me. I was one of these kids that when I grew up, I wanted to be a millionaire. You know, all the other kids wanted to be baseball players and doctors and lawyers and astronauts, and I wanted to be a millionaire. I didn't know what it meant, but I just knew I needed to be that because that's what my parents said I needed to be. And I left school early. College went to 1 year and didn't complete. I was off towards finding my holy grail, as they say. And guess what? It didn't work. For the next 14 years, I did nothing but struggle. And again, I'm not the kind of person that, you know, a lot of people don't really care if they make it big or not. They want to live a happy life and they can be pretty serene and stuff. But that wasn't my agenda. I was definitely into trying to get rich. And the quicker the better. And like I said, 14 years later, hadn't worked yet. And finally, I met up with a gentleman who gave me some advice that kind of changed my life. And it was simply that he said, Harv, if you're not doing as well as you'd like, it's because you don't know as much as you think you know. And I kind of listened to that for the first time, let my ego down for a little bit. And I said, well, what would you suggest? He said, very simply, if you want to get rich, you should do what rich people do. Now, how obvious is that?
but almost too obvious.
Yeah, it never dawned on me before. And so I said, well, what do they do? He said, well, don't ask me. He says, you're going to need to find out for yourself. He says, how do you want to get rich? And I said, in business. And he said, okay, then find out what rich business people do. So I wasn't doing much at the time again, and I had my fourth business crash. And I spent the next half year doing nothing but reading and studying rich business people. And I noticed something very unusual in that they had seven very specific things that they all seemed to have in common in what they did. So I showed it to him, and he said, what are you showing it to me for? He said, show it to the world and see if it works. And he's one of these guys. And so I did, and I started one of the first retail fitness stores in North America. And 2.5 years later, I had 10 stores, and I sold out to the H.A. Heinz Corporation for over $1 million and well over, and so there I had it. I started with $2,000 that I borrowed on my Visa card, and a couple of years later I had $1.5 million sitting in my bank account.
That's so exciting. I like how you said you had to get your ego out of the way. So many of us trip over And I'm the same way. It was right there in front of me, and I knew better than everybody else. And the one thing that I didn't do, because I thought, oh, well, I made an assumption of how rich people behaved when I said I wanted to be a millionaire. And I just assumed that they did all of these things, and I couldn't have been further from the truth until I stepped aside from my ego and said, okay, let me figure out how to really do this.
Yeah, reality is a little different than Hollywood, don't you think?
Dramatically different.
Now it's Bollywood, but they actually make money there, so... No,
yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of listeners here, and my guess is that most of these people want to go to the next level in their life or go to a great level in their life. And not to say that they're not at a good level right now, but, you know, I don't think you listen to anything like this if you're not striving for something better. And why not? You know, we're goal-seeking mechanisms, and why not go for more and better and bigger and stronger? Not necessarily from a greed standpoint, not necessarily because you have to have, you know, billions of dollars or have the world's biggest company or anything like that. I mean, if you want that, then that's up to you, but that's not where I'm at anyways. But it's just reality. It's the game, you know. Why not? You win the game and whatever your game is, whatever the success is for you. And I always say, you know, I believe you only go around once in this lifetime. And if you go around more than that, you don't remember it anyway, so what's the difference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to play a game, if you're going to play life, and it's a game, you might as well play to win. You might as well play full on in this lifetime. I mean, most people, as you know, they play this life as if they're going to have another chance, you know, in every single day is another chance, another day. Well, guess what? Pretty soon you run out of chances. And, you know, I'm 56 years old right now, and I cannot believe I'm 56. I still think I'm 30, you know. But when I look at
The years are creeping on me.
And it's a little bit disturbing, a little, almost, you know. It's like, where did the last 20 years go? And all I can say to everybody listening is that, you know, if you haven't realized it yet, you will, and that life goes very, very, very quickly, and that, you know, you might as well do the best you can at every moment you possibly can. And you're not going to be a robot, of course, but, you know, why shouldn't you be rich? Why shouldn't you be well off? Why shouldn't you travel first class? Why shouldn't you be able to give to other people? Why should you be middle class financially? Why should you be broke? I mean, if you're designing your life, is that the way you design your life? You'd want to be broke? You'd want to be struggling financially? Is that what you do? If not, then why be that? Why do that? And the only reason is because you don't know any better. I always say, you know, with my staff, I always say to people, I say, listen, if they could have done better, they would have done better, you know? If they could have done this on their own, they would have done this on their own. And so if you could have done better than you're already doing right now, you already would have done better. So it's really good that you're listening to people who have maybe have had some success that can show you a path that they've taken that seemed to work. Again, I spent 14 years in trouble. I never went bankrupt, but I'll tell you what, spending, you know, months and months at a time choosing between a dollar to put in my car, to put gas in my car, or eating dinner that night, maybe a hot dog or some type of Pop-Tart or something. That's a little too much for me. And I didn't come from a broken home. I didn't come from a home that was totally struggling. My parents were quite middle class. They worked very hard and they came from Europe and, you know, they came with nothing and they didn't teach me to be broke. And I taught myself that. I was just looking for the holy grail, and I thought it just came easily and it would just find me, and I was wrong. I was wrong about that. But the most important thing I was wrong about was that I had beliefs in my own mind that were destructive towards creating wealth. I didn't know it at the time. Well, of course, now that I've, you know, fixed that basically, and I was able to do that, and now I've helped over a million people find and find ways of thinking and create ways of thinking that works in the real world instead of doesn't work. You know, now I know that was the key. That was the root of all my problems. And now I know that, you know, almost every single person, and I can guarantee every person that I've ever spoken to, and again, that's over a million people worldwide, you know, they've got some things rolling around in their head that are not productive towards wealth. And if we can clear those things and we can install some new files, for example, that in the way that rich people think, everything changes automatically, because what most people don't realize is that your thoughts create your feelings, which create your actions, which create results. So thoughts lead to actions, and actions lead to results. It all starts in your thinking, and I'll dispute that in just a minute myself. So, but for right now, all I can tell you is that you can learn every trick of the trade in business and in stocks and in real estate, but guess what? If you don't change your what's between your ears, if you don't change the way you think, you will never act in accordance to what you learned. And so you can learn any technique or strategy you want. You won't use it. And if you do use it, you'll use it in a way that does not work for you. You will sabotage it, or your habits will sabotage it, or something will sabotage it. You have to ask yourself right now, if you're over, let's say, 40 years old, and you've got a good, you know, 20 years of work under your belt, why aren't you rich? You know, why aren't you rich? There's 25 and 30-year-old people who are rich. Now, whatever you said to yourself as to the answer to that question, my friend, as to why you're not rich right now, all I can tell you is that that's a good reason, and that's a wonderful reason, and guess what? It doesn't work, because nobody cares about your reasons, least of all me. So that's one of the things I found out. I had fantastic, class A, gold star reasons as to why I wasn't successful. The reality was that I was still broke. And so nobody cared about my reasons except for me. And now, you know, I see that I was bought into the reasons, my story, more than into what I needed to do to get rich. And that's what we'll talk about here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always said you can make excuses or you can make money, but you can't make both at the same time.
Exactly. You can have reasons or you can have results, one or the other.
Mm-hmm. So it's all in where you focus. Where do you think most people go wrong?
Well, you know, I'm very well known for in my book and around the world for making the following statement. The statement is this: give me 5 minutes with anyone and I can predict your financial future for the rest of your life. How? By identifying something called your money and success blueprint. So Heather, each of us has a personal money blueprint already ingrained in our subconscious mind. And it is this blueprint, more than anything and everything else all combined, that will determine your financial life. You could be the best business person, the best marketer, the best negotiator. You could be the best manager, the best executive. You can know everything about real estate. You can know everything about stocks and bonds and financial instruments. But if your subconscious, I repeat, subconscious money blueprint isn't preset for a high level of success, you will never amass a large amount of money, and if by chance you do, you'll somehow manage to lose it. So where people go wrong is they do not know about, they do not recognize, they do not understand their subconscious money blueprint, and that is the driver of their financial results, and they don't know it.
Now, you know, you say that this blueprint can, you know, predict what they're going to do. How does somebody achieve long-lasting wealth by what you refer to as a financial thermostat, and how can somebody turn that up, if you will? Or
right.
Can you?
Yes. Thank goodness you can, because everybody would be broke if you couldn't. So, you know, the financial thermostat is just another way of framing, another way of saying financial blueprint. So, as I said, each of us has this running through us. And a good example here is, like, Donald Trump. Here's this multimillionaire who loses everything and more, and 2 years later he's got it all back again and more. Why? Because his money blueprint is set for high levels of success. And on the other side of the coin, we have the lottery winners. We've all heard the stories. They win $5, $10, $50, $100 million. 5 years later, virtually half of them are right back to where they started. Why? Because their money blueprint is set for low. So similarly, you know, it's kind of like a thermostat. So, you know, imagine, for example, it's like you have a room, and if the room is 70 degrees inside the room, what do you think the thermostat is set for? Well, good chance it's set for 70 degrees, right? Now, let's say, for example, you open the windows in the room, and it's very cold outside. Is it possible that the temperature in that room could get down to, say, 65 degrees? Of course it can. But what will eventually happen? The thermostat will kick in and drive that temperature right back to 70 degrees. On the other side, we have what if the windows are open and it's very hot outside? You know, is it possible that the room can, say, get to 75 degrees? Well, of course it can. But what will eventually automatically happen? That's right. The thermostat will automatically kick in and drive that temperature right back down to 70 degrees, meaning that the only way to change the temperature in that room is to change the thermostat. And Heather, it's exactly the same way with our listeners. The only way to change your financial life is change your financial thermostat. And another word for saying that is to change your subconscious money blueprint. And until you change that, actually change that, adjust it, like adjusting a thermostat, you are, excuse my language, doomed, I will say, doomed to stay exactly where you are financially for the rest of your life. So people say, well, Harv, come on, how do you predict people's future, financial future in 5 minutes? I go, you want the truth? And they go, yeah, okay, fine. It doesn't take 5 minutes. It takes 5 seconds, but 5 seconds doesn't sound believable, so I say 5 minutes. Well, all right, okay, then how do you do it in 5 seconds? Simple. Your financial future is exactly the way your financial present and past have been. Why would it change? Listen, we are creatures of habit, right? And so the way you brush your teeth now, I guarantee, is the way you brush your teeth 5 years ago and 10 years ago. You know, your hair probably isn't going to change that much. The way you you might have a certain way you dress. You have a certain time you watch this. You have a certain, whatever. We're creatures of habit, right? And so that's why it's so hard for people to change. Okay, I'm going to start working out every day at 7 a.m. Oh yeah, right. I've heard that one before. And you do it for how long? One day, maybe two if you're great, okay? Why? Because we're creatures of habit. And so we have a financial, habitual way of being when it comes to how we spend money, how we save money, how much money we earn, for example. That's habitual. All right? How we invest or not invest, and what we know about money, what we don't know about money. All of this is habitual. So basically, these habits are your money blueprint in action. And they're just showing you your money blueprint here. So reality says that you're going to be exactly where you are right now, 5 and 10 and 20 years from now, unless something changes on an internal thermostatic basis subconsciously. And that's what we're really good at helping people do. Do it and change it, and we actually are able to change people's financial thermostats. We have a program, as you know, Heather, that actually does this for people right on the spot, right on the premises. It's a weekend program, and we do it right there that weekend, because you can talk about it all you want, but it ain't going to change because it has to change physically.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hold that thought while we take a real quick break, and when we come back, we can talk more about what goes on in the Millionaire Mind Intensive. And let's also talk about how our parents have affected our current financial thermostat. All that with Harv Eker here on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show The Truth with Coca Brown on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people has someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95. at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to T. Harv Eker on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio. And right before the break, we were talking about our financial thermostats and Harv's Millionaire Mind Intensive. Harv, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's so exciting. I can't begin to tell you how exciting this is for me and what an honor and a privilege it is, because you focus on the same things that I talk about. If you can't get your head straight, your wallet's not going to follow.
Well, a lot of people want to, you know, pass it off to, you know, soft stuff, soft skills, you know, fluffy, woo-woo. Really? Okay, well, that's great. Does that mean I'm looking at my laptop right now. That's a hunk of metal without the software, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't the software make the hardware? Again, you can, you know, you're just a hunk of skin and bones, basically, with a brain. And unless you program that brain and your mind properly, yeah, you ain't going to do too well. Simple as that. So you can say this is soft. Yeah, it is soft. It's software. Your mind is the software that runs your hardware. And if you don't think that's true, just look at your computer and take the software out and see what happens for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, that software was programmed early on. And our parents had a lot to do with that. Well, 18 years. Of the programming for most folks. How did what they do affect our financial thermostats even today, years later, after we're adults and out of the house?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great question, because it's not just parents and whatever, because people ask me all the time, they say, Harv, how are we conditioned? See, remember I said this is very important to realize this. So again, most people don't understand your thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, lead to results. So thoughts, actions, results, okay? So thoughts are the source of results, right? No, that is incorrect. Your thoughts are not the source of your results. What comes before thoughts? Why do you think the way you think? And the answer is your conditioning. You are programmed to think the thoughts you think. So early on, we have this open vessel called the mind, and then information gets installed in it. Based on the information that's installed in it is what determines what bubbles up in it, called your thought processes. So why do you think differently than the person beside you, especially if you're married to them? Then you radically think differently, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
But the reason you think differently is because you're programmed differently, right? Same as, you know, why is Excel different than PowerPoint or Photoshop? Because they're programmed differently, that's all. So that's the key thing. How are you conditioned? So three methods of conditioning. Verbal programming, what did you hear when you were young? Modeling, what did you see when you were young? And specific incidents, what did you experience when you were young? Let's start with verbal programming. What were some of the phrases that you heard about money and success and rich people when you were young? You know, at my seminars, I always ask for call-outs, and I get things like, money's the root of all evil, and rich people are greedy and filthy rich, and what, you have to work hard to make money, and you can't be rich and spiritual. Money doesn't bring happiness.
Money doesn't grow on trees.
Money doesn't grow on trees. There's never enough. How about this one? Did anyone ever hear this one? We can't afford it. Hey, you want to hear my father's favorite? Anytime I asked him for anything, he growled at me and said, hey, what am I made of money? I used to joke around with him and say, hey, I wish that. I'll take an arm. I'll take a Dad, I'll take a baby finger. And you know what? He never laughed once. Anyways, listen to this, my friends. Every single statement, I know it seems like a long time ago. I know it seems like it was innocuous. Every single statement when you heard when you were young, every single one of those negative situations is still lodged, locked in your subconscious mind that remembers everything and part of the blueprint that is running your financial life, and you don't even know it's there. You are running on automatic thinking that you are making these decisions on a conscious basis. And that's your belief. And that's a good belief to have, except guess what? It doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because we're not conscious beings. We're mostly subconscious beings. Here's an example. If you had to consciously beat your heart, you'd be dead in 5 minutes. In other words,
you probably forget to do it.
Exactly. 90% of everything we do in our is subconscious. And so, you know, you say, well, hey, well, it doesn't matter to me because I can't control it. Wrong. You can control it, but you have to control it by reconditioning the subconscious so that it works automatically in the way you'd prefer instead for you instead of against you. Let's talk more about how you get conditioned. So the second method of conditioning, as you mentioned, is called modeling. And so what were your parents or guardians like when you were growing up in the arena of money, right? Did one or both of them manage money well, or did they mismanage money? Were they spenders or were they savers? Were they shrewd investors or were they non-investors? Hey, did money come fairly easily in your household, or was it always a struggle? Was money a source of joy in your home too, or was it a source of bitter arguments? And I'm being facetious, of course. Why is that important? Because how many of you have heard the saying, monkey see, monkey what? Do. And guess what? Humans aren't far behind. So most of us tend to be exactly like one or a combination of both of our parents in the arena of money. Some of us, unfortunately or fortunately, are exactly the opposite. Now, why would someone be the opposite of one or both of their parents? Simple. It depends on how angry you were at them or the situation you grew up in.
Mm-hmm. I used to always tell my parents were divorced, and any time I spent time with my father, who I perceived had all the money, because I lived with my mother and we didn't, I used to always say to him, I swear I was born in the wrong income bracket. It would send him over the edge, but I was like, I was meant to be rich. I can't believe this, you know, and I used to just get so stressed out because money didn't grow on trees. Nobody was made of money. Money was always a source of anxiety or tension in my household. And
well,
what did I do right when I got out into the world? I did that same exact thing.
Well, everyone does. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do? You're just going to, look, if you're
you don't
if
know what's better.
You don't know any better, so you're only going to do what the best you can do, and that's based on the information you got. It's very simple. You know, do you want to hear what the third way people are conditioned? Very interesting.
Yes. Experience.
Okay. Exactly. So specific incidents. What did you experience when you were young around money, success, wealth, and rich people? You know, one of the best examples is a woman that was in my seminar. When she was 8 years old, she'd hear the clanging of the ice cream truck coming down her street, and she'd run to her mom and ask her mom for a quarter, and her mom would say, sorry, dear, I don't have any money. Go ask Dad. Dad's got all the money. She'd run to her dad. She'd go get her quarter. She was a happy camper. She'd go get her ice cream, right? So the next week, she'd hear the clanging of the ice cream truck coming down the street. She'd run to her mom and ask her mom for a quarter, and her mom would say, help me out, everybody. Sorry, dear, I don't have any what? Money. Go ask your what? Dad. Dad's got all the what? Money, right?
Money.
She'd run to her dad. She'd go get her ice cream. She was a happy camper. Get her quarter, right? Perfect. So what did this woman learn about money? Well, the first thing she learned was what? Men have all the
money.
So when she first got married, what do you think she was expecting of her husband? Guess what? It wasn't quarters anymore. Somehow she graduated. And so, you know, it almost cost them their marriage, right? Now, what did you learn about women and money? That women don't have money, right? That the way for a good woman to be is not to have money, because mom, the deity, didn't have money. So in order to make sure that she didn't have money, what did she have to do? She'd have to get rid of any money that she had, all of the money that she had. And, of course, she became a very, very vivacious spender, and she was doing that only unconsciously to get rid of the money that she had so she could be a good person, right? Because a good woman doesn't have money. See, the subconscious is very black and white. It's like beat the heart now, okay? It's like we have money, or men have money, women don't have money. It's very simple. And so then you will create the reality that falls in line with that situation, just like the thermostat. It's 70 degrees. Window open, cold outside, turn it up. Window open, hot outside, it goes off, okay? And the air conditioning comes on. It's all automatic, and yet we think we're in such control, but the problem is we're not in control until we affect that subconscious, and thank God we're able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's, you know, I wrote these three things down. I'm a copious note taker when it comes to listening to people that I perceive as further along the road than I, so I can, you know, pull
well,
these
you know
things
what?
Out.
You know, you make sure you qualify that with in a specific area, because everyone's further around, along the road than a person in a specific area, and you're further along the road than they are in another area.
I like that. You know, I do have value. I've been around now 4 decades, so.
I guess, tell you what, you got it all over me when it comes to running a blog talk radio. I don't even know where to start. And that's the thing, you know, I'm in front of, you know, anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people at a time. You know, our seminars have, you know, as you know, thousands and thousands of people at them pretty well every weekend. I'm going to be leaving, a week and a half for Australia. I do Melbourne and Sydney. We have 5,000 people in each city waiting for us to do the 3-day Millionaire Mind Intensive. We have 5,630 people in Singapore, again, all at once. So, you know,
and
there's
a lot
of people.
And that's funny because our demographic is Australia, New Zealand, and Singapore for our non-North America listeners. Those are the people that really want to change. And, you know, because we're internet-based, we can track where our listeners are from, and I was surprised to see the people with other countries and other cultures and economies and forms of leadership would choose to listen to us. I found that very interesting.
I find that internationally they're at least as advanced as we are in North America here with regard at least to what they want and their capabilities on a financial level. I mean, you know what? Here's the reality, Heather. Whenever I'm on a talk show or interview in a magazine or something, especially in Asia, they always want to ask the same question. How are we different than the Americans? How are we different than the Australians? How are we different than the English, you know, or the Europeans, which were there also? And I go, well, you're not going to like this answer. They go, okay, well, what is it? I go, you're not. You're not any different. You know, I always say the same thing as I said to you early on, Heather. If a person's got a heart and a mind, they're basically the same, okay? Everyone's the same. If their outer shell looks a little different, if their color's a little different, their hair's a little different, their eyes are a little different, who cares, right? They got a mind and a heart, and pretty well in our society, just about everybody wants the same thing and doesn't want the same thing, you know? They want to live a decent, happy life, and that includes what people know today as what that includes. And so people want, they want to be rich, but they want to be happy, and they want to be balanced at the same time. Very few people today, in my experience, want to be really rich and unhappy. They want to be really rich and hurt other people. They want to be really rich and really greedy. You know what? There's some people like that, but they're not in the majority. Most people are like the people that are like you and me and all my students and the people listening to this call, and they want to be rich and happy and balanced, and they want to be a good person and kind and generous. You know, in the second half of our show, we're going to talk about several of the ways that rich and successful people think very differently than poor and unsuccessful people, and I'm going to give you a little hint here. One of those ways is that rich people always think in terms of both, and most unsuccessful people think in terms of either or. And so one of the philosophies that I teach at my programs and at the Millionaire Mind is that, you know, the intention is to be, you can be kind, loving, generous, balanced, spiritual, and really, really rich. And why not have both? They go together beautifully, by the way.
They do. And the more that you have, the more you can share. And
that's the value,
the choice that you have when you have resources, financial resources. It gives you choice.
I've been called by the New York Times a financial evangelist, and I will take that with a blessing. And I believe that the people, you know, we're better off being rich than broke, because I think when you have your money handled, many, many things happen. But let me give you 4 very specific reasons as why rich is better than broke, okay? And I'm not even saying middle class. I said rich is rich, and whatever rich is to you. But I think rich means having an abundance of money, put it that way, okay? And so number one reason to get rich is, okay, let's face it, lifestyle. I think you can live a nicer lifestyle since you only go around once in this time. Why not live in a nice home, have a decent car, travel first class, have beautiful vacations with your family or friends, be able to eat the best food and have nice dinners out and enjoy yourself and send your kids to the best schools and the best colleges. Why not? Why should you be like, at a lower level than other people? What makes them better than you? Why should someone have that and you not? What is that about yourself that says that? So, lifestyle. And number two is for contribution. I believe that if you have the wherewithal to be rich, it is your duty, your dharma to do so. Why? So you can help the people who will never have that wherewithal. You know what? Many people, not just thousands or hundreds of thousands, but millions and millions, if not hundreds of millions of people, will never have the wherewithal to be rich. And they will struggle for their entire lives financially, and that means they'll never be able to get the food, the clothing, the shelter, the medicine that they deserve just by being a human being. And it is up to us rich people, up to us people who have some money, have an abundance of money, to be able to help in that way. You know, you can give prayers, you can give thoughts, you can give love, you can give hugs, but guess what? That's all wonderful. But it doesn't pay for medical medicine, and it doesn't pay for food, and it doesn't pay for shelter and bricks and mortar, okay? It just doesn't. I wish it did, but it doesn't. And so the only thing that pays for that is actual money. And if you don't have much to give, then, you know, you don't really feel as good as you can about that. So contribution is the second reason to get rich. Third reason to get rich is for who you need to become in character, in virtue, in mindset, in habit, in order to be successful enough in any arena as to create wealth from that arena. In short, you need to be a bigger, better, stronger person to be successful than unsuccessful. And you need to be at the highest level to be successful than unsuccessful. Let me ask you a question. Does a team have to be more successful to win the Super Bowl than a team that comes in last place? Of course it does. Does it have to be all around better than the team that comes in last place? Of course it does. So you have to be a better, excuse my terminology, quote-unquote person in your business, in your way you handle things, in your character, to be rich than to be poor. And so that getting rich is a target that forces you to a higher goal, and you have to become a bigger, better, stronger person to attain higher goals and higher targets than lesser goals and lesser targets. So it forces you to become a better person, and getting rich is the byproduct of that. All right? And a good example of that, by the way, is Madonna. Here's this woman who is at the top of her class, and she changes every year or two her style completely. She's always done that. Why? She says in her own words, because it forces me to become a better performer and a better person. That new target forces me to get off my rear end and do what it takes to be better than what I was. All right, and the fourth and final reason to get rich is so you can just stop worrying about the damn stuff. Stop worrying about money. Stop struggling around money. Listen, people who struggle around money are usually people who don't have much of it. When you have it, it's not like all your money woes are going to go away because now you have to figure out what to do with it. But I'll tell you what, Heather, wouldn't you rather figure out what to do with it than not have it and try to worry about getting it?
Agreed.
It's better to be rich and try to, oh my gosh, you know, I'm rich, but I one of my houses went down like $1 million in the last 2 years. Ooh, I only have 4 more houses, you know. Wow, too bad. You know,
yeah.
So come on, you know, realistically, people, you know, who come up with these ideas that, well, I get this in my, because I get this in my courses all the time. People will say to me, oh, Harv, you know, if I get rich, money corrupts people. I go, money corrupts people? Look at, pull out a dollar bill or a $100 bill. Tell me what you see. Okay, I see money. No, feel it. What do you feel? Oh, I don't know. I feel paper. That's right. It's just a bunch of paper that represents actual, you know, things. It's more convenient to use paper than to trade my cows for your shoes, okay? So money is just a bunch of paper, realistic at this point in time. So what are you saying? Paper corrupts people? Are you saying post-it notes corrupt people? Maybe we shouldn't have post-it notes because they'll corrupt people. Come on. You know what corrupts people? It's not money. People corrupt people. You corrupt people. You corrupt yourself. You're not going to become corrupt just because you're not going to become greedy because you have money. Let me ask you a question. If I gave you $1 million tomorrow, will you become greedy all of a sudden? Will a switch turn on in your brain and go, oh my God, I have $1 million. I shall be greedy now. I don't think so. People are going to be the same way they are. That's why you still have the farmers the same way he is, whether he is rich or not rich, still drives the pickup truck, still gets, you know, to the market in time, still does what he does. And the person who, you know, plays the stock market, they might play a little bigger, a little smaller. Look, you're going to be the way you were, okay? And just because you have a bunch more money, all that means is you can designate it a little differently. You can eat better, you can travel better, you can live a little bit better, you can give a lot more, you can feel better about yourself, you don't have to worry about trying to get any of this stuff. It's just a nicer way to live, that's all. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. We are running out of time, so I want one more question to ask before we have to say goodbye for this week, and we'll circle back again with you next week. But real quickly, I want to circle back to the programming and the parental financial thermostat. After all those years of our parents and our peers influencing us and setting up our current financial thermostats, is it really possible to reprogram ourselves in just 3 days at the Millionaire Mind Intensive? Can you undo all of that in that short a period of time?
Well, you don't have to undo all of it. The answer is absolutely yes, and thank goodness we're blessed with that ability. And we've changed the lives of over 1.5 million people in 34 languages and over 100 different countries. And literally, you know, we have a technology, a methodology that's fun, it's exciting, we play a lot of games around it. But here's the thing. In the same way you got programmed in the first place, you can get reprogrammed in the second place, all right? So there's methodology in which we can reprogram people that actually works right on the spot, right on the premises, right there, right that weekend. You walk in with your blueprint set for one level of success. You walk out with a brand new money blueprint, money thermostat set for a brand new, much, 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 much higher level of success. And here's the thing, not just to create success and create financial success and wealth, but actually to keep it and to grow it. And so the answer is absolutely yes. And the coolest thing is that we're actually able to do it right there that weekend on the spot. Like I said, you walk in one way, you walk out another way. And we actually do the assessments with you right there. So at the beginning of the program, you're going to do a money blueprint assessment. You're going to be able to read your own blueprint right in front of you. And guess what? You're going to forget this, but at the end of the program, we give you back another blueprint assessment, and you get to read your new blueprint. And most people, Heather, you cannot believe how much people are dying of laughter. They cannot believe they wrote what they wrote 3 days ago. They cannot believe they believe that that was in their head 3 days ago, that that was in their own mind and they didn't recognize it. So can we do it in 3 days? Absolutely. Do we do it? Absolutely. Do we change people's lives in 3 days? Absolutely. And I'm not just blowing smoke here. You know, we have 18 different programs. We have a lot of programs we can send you to. But guess what, Heather? We don't allow people to take any of our other programs, nothing, until you've changed your money blueprint. Because what's the use? What's the use learning business, marketing, financial? Nothing. It doesn't matter. If you don't change that money blueprint, you are doomed. You are doomed to stay in the same approximate level financially for the rest of your life. And the minute you change that, and we do that with you right on the spot, and that's why it's got to be physically, because physical is memorable. We do it on a cellular basis so that it's a permanent change. If we just did it by, I have a best-selling book. You can read that, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. But it'll only change it to a very, you know, minor level. If you want to be changed permanently and you want to be changed on a massive level, then you need to go to this 3-day Millionaire Mind Intensive program. And everybody who goes, I can tell you, we hardly advertise at all. We don't advertise. And yet, how do 1.5 million people get to go? Why do we have 3,000 or 5,000 people in a room at a time? You know, it's all word of mouth because it works. It works in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to get moving on to our next segment, so I have to let you go for today. So if somebody is interested, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you know, what they need to do is, you don't need to get a hold of me, you just need to go to this to the Millionaire Mind Intensive, okay? And here's what we're doing. We're doing something very, very special for your listeners here. and that is that the program is worth $1,295 per ticket. Two tickets is $2,590. And what we're going to do right now is because of who you are in our relationship, Heather, for your listeners, if they go to a specific website, and that is www.millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth. Again, millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth. If your listeners go there right now, they're going to get something very interesting. And that is we're going to gift, I mean it, we're going to gift scholarship your listeners in. You know we have a limitation on this, but we're going to gift the first people that are calling tickets to the Millionaire Mind Intensive, complimentary two tickets to those who call in right now. Now, here's the thing, or who go on to the website. They are subject to a $100 no-show deposit. What that means is if you register and you show up, we never charge you. If you register and you can't show up and you let us know you can't show up, call us or email us 3 or 4 days in advance, you are never charged. However, if you register and you take up a seat and you don't show up and you never call to let us know so we could have sold that seat to somebody else, then I just have to say you're rude and you deserve to get dinged for $100, and I think you'll be able to agree with that. And so everyone comes complimentary. It's all complimentary for your listeners if they go to millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth and they get two tickets complimentary. Also, if they want to come VIP, those tickets, that whole package, I'm not even going to get into it. You'll see it on the website. It's normally over, literally with the values, over $5,000. You'll see it on the website on special for $397 for your listeners. But what we're doing right now is we're going to give them a special price for $297 if they want to come two seats VIP and sit front and center and get five Millionaire Mind books and a whole whack of other stuff. Those books also have tickets in them to complimentary so 10 people can come. You'll read about it on the website. Come one way or the other. That's all I can say. You want to sit up front and bring a bunch of guests? Get the VIP. You don't? Then get the general seating tickets, and you're going to have an amazing experience there. And I promise you, this is unlike any other program you've ever experienced in your life. You won't recognize yourself after. You'll be a very, very happy camper, and money will begin. All I'm going to say is you know, you heard the word the Midas touch. That's a person who has a blueprint set for high levels of success. That's like a Donald Trump. And I have a Midas touch, and almost everybody who goes through this program ends up having a Midas touch to some level or another. But I'll tell you what, you're going to see life and money in a whole different way after this event, and you're going to see it from a subconscious, habitual way, and that's what's cool about it.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being a part of our show today. We've got part two coming up next week with you, and what an incredible offer, folks. If you didn't happen to catch that, it will be on our website, a link straight over at www.unlockyourwealth.com. We'll be back with the second half of our show coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerU.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhals on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your money mentor, your maven of moolah, your purveyor of prosperity. And wasn't that so cool? I can't, I really enjoyed this show for the simple fact that I get to commune with all of these incredible folks. And that's why it's so important for all of you to tune in each week to be able to get a piece of all of these people, too, that you can take home with you. You can incorporate into your life right now, today, what they're sharing with you so you can materially alter your future. I think that's so powerful when T. Harv says, well, you know, I say 5 minutes because 5 seconds isn't believable. And he can predict your financial future. It's unreal. But it's so true. And he just resonates everything that we talk about here on the show. So I'm so excited for him to drop by next week because hopefully he'll reveal some of those techniques. Now that we know what we're all doing wrong, now he's left us hanging, so now we can figure out what it is that we need to do to get where we want to go. So I'm pretty excited about that. So we have to make sure that we tune in for next week. And again, if you're listening from the Blog Talk Radio show page, the advertisement is in the upper right corner. If you want to click on that banner to go to the web link for the free tickets, otherwise, surf over to www.millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth. Or if you're following us through social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, or a litany of others, follow the bit.ly that our darling Elena DiFiore, who is producing our show and moderating our chat room today, is broadcasting out to everyone. So all you have to do, we'll make it real simple, is to click and sign up. But it's an incredible offer. And you can go to any of those Millionaire Mind intensives, wherever it's closest to you. You just don't have to come to Arizona because that's where I am. Although, if you do come to the one in Arizona, I would love to meet you. Make sure that you make it a point to come up and introduce yourself so I can, share with you how much it means to me that you listen and get value out of this show. So, anybody know what time it is? Yes, it's that time again for our Millionaire Minute. This is the segment where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tools you can incorporate into your life right now, today. And this week's millionaire-focused strategy is on time blocking versus time management. If you didn't have a chance to join us on our Tuesday show, we did our millionaire focus on how time blocking is a tool that millionaires use to create balance in their life and increase their productivity throughout their day, each and every day. And simply, we must identify fixed versus flexible occurrences in our schedule. Fixed means I have to pick up my kids at school at 2:30. I have to meet with the president of the company at 11:45. That's a fixed time. If you're in real estate, I have a signing at the title company at 2:30 in the afternoon with my clients. But flexible is I have to dial 30 cold calls today to enrich my business. That's flexible. That can occur at any point in your day. I have to write a new marketing piece for my upcoming website launch. That's something that can occur on a flexible basis. And then we schedule ourselves out accordingly, and we use a month-in-view calendar so we don't schedule too many face-to-face appointments, so we're always prospecting and cultivating new business. We always have time to work in our business directly with our clients, and then we can work on our business where we develop existing relationships and go deeper with past clients in order to cultivate new ones. And that allows us to really enjoy the time that we have with our friends and family when we're not working, when we create value and productivity in the times that we are. Now, fully and completely integrate these habits now. See yourself in this way. Look forward into the future and watch how differently people will respond to you. Imagine yourself with these successes already. Create some affirmations with these tools as well to reinforce what you have just integrated into your personality, and that is your Millionaire Minute for today. Be sure to tune in to our Millionaire Nuts and Bolts program each and every Tuesday at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, or if you happen to miss the live broadcast, you can always download them from our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com, and those are free to our key members as well as our premium members. So make sure that you buzz on by and take a look. Now, this week's key is remember real estate. Everything that we have done so far has been to position ourselves for successful home ownership and then real estate investment. Now, we have accepted our current lot in life. We have assessed where we were. We have created goals. We've worked to change those things. We created a healthy savings and spending plan. We learned how to manage our emotions along the way. We learned how to create plan Bs. We learned how to seek out the knowledge that we don't currently have about our finances. And we broke our budget. And then we reviewed our credit report last week to determine if there's any inaccuracies. And then we set up a strategy to eliminate all of our existing superfluous debt, because we are no longer financing our lunches or our Ferragamos or any of that stuff. If we can't pay cash for it or pay our credit cards off by the end of the month, we don't need it. Bottom line, if you want those things, go make more money. Otherwise, live within your means in order to create a healthy savings and spending plan so you're properly tiered for financial success, which is teeing us up for today's key in our Keys to Riches, which is Remember Real Estate. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, again, welcome to the broadcast and to our second half of the show. And the Keys to Riches is simply a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And the key is healthy money management skills. And every successful millionaire or billionaire has real estate in their portfolio to their credit as an investment that took them over the edge. Every single one of them. You show me a millionaire, I'm going to show you somebody who owns real estate. It is a tangible asset. And one of the beautiful things about real estate, unlike the stock market or other types of investment where you're investing in paper, is regardless of what the economy does, if you structure your investment correctly, meaning you purchase the asset correctly, because the money on real estate or in any investment or manufacturing or whatever isn't made on the sale, it's made on the buy. If you buy it right, you'll always have the asset positioned properly, regardless of what the economy has done, regardless of what values have done. If you correctly positioned yourself in real estate and properly structured your asset and the financing on that asset, and you have a tenant in your property, you are servicing that debt. And each and every month, you get a little chunk more as your cash flow. And it's a pretty fabulous thing. So it doesn't matter where you bought the property or how much you bought it for. If you structured your debt right and you bought the property right, your asset is still performing. I have tons of real estate clients that became multimillionaires when I called the market before the mortgage markets crashed. I had everybody liquidate their positions, and I had them sit and wait. And they were jonesing. Oh, look at how high it's going. Look at how high it's going. And I'm like, don't buy yet. It's always made on the buy. Even if you did buy at the height of the market, if you structured your financing properly, your current rental rates, which rent did not dip very much during all of this, at least in Arizona and pretty much nationally, we didn't see a real big dip in rental rates. And as a result of all these foreclosures and people walking away from their mortgages, they are renters now. So the rental market is pretty strong. As a result of this, if you structured your financing right, you'll be positioned right. So let's check in now with our Unlock Your Wealth protege, fabulous funny gal, comedian, Coco Brown, host of The Real Truth with Coco Brown, and see how she did from last week.
Welcome to the broadcast, Coco. It's great to have you back.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm excited. We are moving and shaking right now.
Yay! Well, I know I dumped a ton of homework on you last week with our Create Credit Key, and I wanted to know, were you able to get through it all, and was your credit report accurate, or did you find some inaccuracies?
I found some inaccuracies, and I'm working on that now. There were some things that should have been knocked off my, that I paid off, that were still on there causing my credit report to be low, my credit score to be lower, and their bills and credit cards and things of that nature, you know, that had been paid off for a while, and things that had been notated from, like, you know, 2000 and 1999 that should have been gone. So I'm working
right
on that now.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really, lenders are great. They're notorious for whacking you on your credit when you make a mistake, but when you work to correct it, they're slow as molasses if they ever get around to fixing it.
Right.
Or they just don't at all until you press it, and that's why accountability is so important when it comes to that. So, well, I'm sure that once you got through all of that, and it eliminated some of that depression, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially knowing that, you know, my credit score would be a lot higher if this had been taken care of. And one of them, you know, really ticked me off because I had taken care of this years ago, and it was still there. And I guess from that, you know, looking closely and just seeing the score or whatever, and, you know, I didn't recognize that, but it was something that I had taken care of even before I moved to L.A. It should have been gone, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I had that happen where an account popped up from, like, 15 years ago that, you know, I got sucked in before I was real savvy with this whole money gig, and I got sucked in by, oh, well, if you just apply for this credit card today, you'll save 25% on your purchases, so I did, and I paid it off, and then I never touched that card again. The store isn't even around. I think it was like Broadway Southwest or something.
Uh-huh.
And the company isn't even around. I haven't used the card. I really totally forgot about it. I haven't seen it on my credit report in 15 years, and then, hello, there it is again, saying that it was, you know, a collection account and a charge-off. And I'm like, number one, you're outside of your reporting period, first off. But number two, I paid it off like that next day because I only used the card to get the discount. And then I walked back in the store because you can make payments in the store, and I made my payment that I was going to pay cash for when I was in there the day before. And because I worked at the mall, it was real easy for me to walk back in, so I know that I paid it off. And so it's just like, okay, this is just nuts. Why do I even have to deal with it? But that's the importance of going through with a fine-tooth comb and not being afraid just because we think that score is going to be low. If it is low, it could be for the wrong reasons. And so I'm glad that you took the time and went through the credit checklist to find that and move to get that corrected. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I think you're my best coaching client and best protege ever because you do what you're told.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the results.
Thank you.
That's so great. Well, I wanted to talk to you today because I am really intrigued that you're an entrepreneur.
Yes.
You're working hard. You're a savvy businesswoman. You're always on the go. You're always hustling. I know when I called you last week for our coaching session, you were busy booking a smoking deal on some plane tickets and everything. So you're just always trying to get ahead.
Absolutely. And always looking for the best deal.
Yes. And knowing that, knowing how hard you're working and striving, is there somebody in the comedy world that you look up to or admire?
You know, I really look up to Jamie Foxx. I do. Because, you know, he started from just telling jokes like me and went on to, you know, be on Living Color and then on to have his own show and then to go on and have his own, you know, company, his own production company. And then he's, you know, evolving again with another production company and just watching how he's taking what he's gotten and not just getting complacent in one place and continuously building his foxhole empire. I definitely admire Jamie.
Nice. So do you feel like that's possible for you in your world, or do you think there might be something holding you back?
Well, I think it's very possible in my world, and I'm actually working towards it. You know, my fiance and I have started our own production company, and we're getting a lot of projects thrown at us, and we're definitely looking at, you know, investing and stuff. And the only thing that's holding us back right now is money, you know, and just, you know, realizing that we wish we had managed our money a lot better in our younger years, but also knowing that it's never too late to get it right. And just, you know, cutting the corners and working with you and, you know, fixing our credit and, you know, just knowing that I think it's very possible that, you know, we could take Coke Above Media to the next level. It's just a matter of now just refocusing our money and refocusing our priorities.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing. And your excitement and enthusiasm for the future and the two of you working so hard together is so admirable, and you two should really be really proud of yourselves. And I'm glad that you're not letting those crappy decisions in the past influence your optimism, because some people wallow in that guilt. But your word choice and your enthusiasm when you communicate gives me great comfort in knowing that you will probably accomplish what you set out to do because you're so committed to it.
Right.
So if money is the only thing that's holding you back, if you took a look at what the two of you are doing now and you're saving money and you're being cautious about how you make your investments, you're evaluating those on a case-by-case basis and seeing where you are financially. When you say that there's money that you could use more of, could the creative part, knowing all the things you have done, come up with one or two other things that might be able to help you generate more income to create more investments?
In terms of things that I want to do that generate more income, absolutely. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, starting, you know, a stand-up comedy class that will bring in income, you know, teaching young comics, you know, about the business and stand-up comedy. Also working with another project where I would be teaching kids the same thing as well as, like, sketch comedy, because I figure I've got this master's degree in education hanging on my wall that I'm doing nothing with, but yet, you know, I could use, you know, things from that degree as well as my experiences as a comic and put back in, and that also could bring in a residual income as well and also give me a way of giving back.
Awesome. That's an awesome thing. So have you started mapping out your plan to create these classes? Are you going to do these live, or are you going to do them online, or one-on-one coaching?
I'm going to do them live. I want to do them live. I already have the location locked in of where I would do them. And it's a matter of me now just pretty much putting together a curriculum and then, you know, going from there and going into the advertising and letting people know that the class is available and then setting my schedule up to be able to do the classes.
Awesome. That sounds great. So have we started putting pen to paper and creating a formal business plan?
Yes. Yes, we have.
Outstanding. So what's the first thing you have down on that business plan that you need to do? If you've locked up the venue, what's the next thing on your business plan that you need to do?
On my business plan at this point is to look into possibly anyone who would like to invest in the class and actually participate in the class, and then basically doing a curriculum of basically knowing what I'm going to teach, when I'm going to teach it, also reaching out to the comedy clubs, making sure that I have venues for my students to be able to go and do their acts, you know, and work on their craft, and then, you know, pretty much figuring out a price of how much I would charge for such a class.
Well, if you were to take your income that you make, and I know that when you stand up and do comedy, you're only up for like a couple hours at a shot, but in reality, you had to invest time in promoting yourself, booking the stuff, the travel time, and all of that. So that ultimately works out to like a full-time job just like everybody else. And so my suggestion to you would be figure out what your hourly rate is based on your weekly or monthly income and divide that by a 40-hour work week or a 50-hour work week to come up with your dollar value, and then that'll tell you what your time is worth. And that would be a great basis. And then based on what that is, then you can see what other people are doing, because are there other people out there in, I'm sure there are other people that teach people how to do comedy, correct?
Yes, they do.
So we probably should do some reconnaissance work, too, on what they're doing, how they're doing it, and what you can do to separate yourself from the rest and make your coaching, your comedy coaching or comedy classes so irresistible and so different that people clamor to be a part of your class and you have waiting lists.
Right.
And
exactly.
And then your hourly, based on what everybody else is going to pay, is not going to be relevant. You'll be able to charge whatever you want once you can create that and differentiate yourself from that.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of suggestions to help you out, if you're interested, would be I would gather the curriculums and see what everybody else is already doing.
Right. I'm actually already in touch with a friend of mine who did this about 2 years ago, and it was very successful for him, and he's actually helping me put together, you know, my plan to do mine, because he actually encouraged me to do a class because he was like, you know, Coca, you're really respected in the business, and being a female, you know, no female has actually done this that had the clout that you have in terms of the road and the business that you do. So he encouraged me to definitely do it. So he's actually kind of being my mentor in me putting this class together. So shout
awesome.
Out to David Arnold.
That is so awesome. So
Yeah. What
other thing can you think of then, or what one thing can you do today to get you that much closer to standing up and teaching those classes? Is there one thing that you can commit to today? I said, you know what, this needs to be a primary focus for me, and I don't have all day, but I can take out a little part of my day to do this. So what one thing can you do today to help get you closer to that class?
Today, what would be closer is pretty much, you know, putting the word out right now. That's what I'm doing now, is putting the word out to see if there is a, you know, an interest in taking a class taught by me. And, you know, that's the wonderful world of, you know, the World Wide Web, because I'm able to do that on Twitter and also on Facebook and things like that, to put the word out to the comics, the younger comics out there, to say, would you be interested in taking this class with me?
Well, I know that I would like to take the class just because I think I'm pretty funny, but it doesn't always translate. So I would like to learn just to enhance my performance here on my radio show. I would take that class, and because I don't live in the same state, you know, if you tape those classes and then sold videos, there's another income stream. You do the work once, but you can replicate the income. I'd buy your videos if you had those, because I'd want to figure out how to do better comedic timing and come up with great jokes, because sometimes I tell jokes and it's like, hello, is anybody out there? Is there a cricket? And I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks. Try the buffet. I'll be here all week. Yeah, so I don't.
They had the same conversation. You know, it's definitely a method to the madness. You just can't get up there and talk.
Right. Everybody's like, oh, you're so funny. You should go. You should do stand-up comedy. And then I try it. Like, I try to be funny, and then it just doesn't work. So I would be somebody that would benefit. So write me down. For, like, when you go to do your class, make sure somebody films it for you, and then you could sell your videos, and I'll be your first video customer.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Well,
all
that's
right.
So great. Well, I'm so excited for that. Now, this is a lot less exciting than your new business venture, but we need to start talking about this week's key, which is Remember Real Estate. But because we've been having so much fun chatting about your new income stream, it's time to visit with our sponsors right now. So hang tight real quick, and we'll be back with more Coco Brown on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more from your purveyor of prosperity right after this.
Hey, this is Coco Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coco Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single vision you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You have been listening to Coco Brown on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
And now it is time to finish filling out our conversation about this week's key, Remember Real Estate. And real estate to me is so fabulous as an investment because I was a stockbroker when I was 23. And I thought, oh, this is like the be-all, end-all. And I used to go tisk, tisk, and this was like in the 90s about real estate investment. But, you know, I used to, because my grandfather taught me these great skills, were working how to build or fix anything. I am committed or convinced that I can build or fix anything because my grandpa taught me. And if I don't know how, he taught me how to find out. It's so easy. And I must have some of his genes because I love to build and design. And every year he would make me a cool new desk for my birthday. So I think maybe that's why I like to study so much. I'm kind of a nerd, I guess, in that respect. And I loved my grandfather. He was my father because my father left when my brother and I were small. And so he was the one that did all of those cool fatherly things, but from a grandfatherly way. And that was one of the things that I learned. And so each weekend, I go out and work with my friends doing little baby construction projects on these fix and flips in the 90s when those big 125% mortgages tanked. You know, you would think that the industry learned after that lesson to not do that again, but oh well. But anyhow, I digress. And I used to do those fix and flips, and we never held on to real estate, never thought about the rental market, never thought about how can I become a real estate investor. And you know, I bought my first house at 23, but it didn't occur to me that that would be a great source because I was so fixated on what was going on in the stock market at the time, and everything was going up, and you couldn't do anything wrong. And so I thought that was so great. But then I kind of gradually got tired of that. I went into mortgages, and then I figured out how fabulous real estate is as an investment tool because it's a tangible asset. If a company goes to hell in a handbasket and you own stock, you have nothing. If you have a bond, at least you're like senior as far as you're a debt holder, so you might get paid off, but a little bit, nothing super fabulous, that's for sure. But real estate, regardless of what the market is doing, if it's an income-producing asset, it's going to keep generating income. You have a tenant in your property, you're making money. Somebody else is servicing your debt, so somebody else is building your wealth. So let me think about this. I have to just take the risk and incur the debt, make the down payment on this property, and then I provide a home ownership opportunity for someone else, and they're going to make me rich. Nah, I don't want to do that. What? That just doesn't make sense. But there is a way, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what our targets are in order to become a homeowner first, because if we're a renter, we want to go from renter to homeowner to real estate investor because we want to be able to manage our money effectively so that we are properly capitalized, that we are prepared for the worst while we hope for the best, meaning we have a sinking fund to make mortgage payments in the event that our tenant doesn't or if our property goes unrented for a period of time, or we have the proper insurances to cover ourselves in the event, because there is insurance for that. All sorts of fabulous things that you can do. And you can be a millionaire in less than 5 years just by living and buying a house. That's all you got to do, and I can show you how to do it. It's so simple. But the first thing you have to do is figure out what your targets are. And so many people are not aware of how real estate works. Well, I'm going to demystify it for you. I have no idea why mortgage lenders don't tell people this straight away. You like have to apply, and it's all mystical. And then maybe you'll get a loan. But nobody tells you where you need to be. Oh, this is too high or that's too low. But they don't tell you where you need to be so you don't have a target to aim for. And they don't, because you can't set a plan to get somewhere if you don't know where you're going. What's the destination? Tell me what it is. Well, today I'm going to tell you what it is. What you need to know first before we talk ratios is that there are four layers of risk that an underwriter looks at. And you don't have to be 100% in every category because they complement each other. And as long as you mitigate risk in one category, the other ones that are a little weaker can be compensated for by the stronger layers of risk. And we call them the four C's. They are character, capacity, capital, and collateral. Three of them you can manipulate. One you can't. You have no choice over. So let's get that one out of the way. And that is collateral. That is not willing buyer, willing seller negotiating freely in an open market, especially if it's way over current values, like what was going on in the middle of this decade. It is only appraised value. It doesn't matter what you agree to purchase the property for. If the value isn't there, meaning like let's say there's high demand and short supply, so prices go up, but the appraiser can't find the value. Like we had properties going for $100,000 more than what they were worth here in Arizona during this crazy, freaky run-up when we had a supply issue. And the loans and the properties were not appraising. And so people had to come out of pocket for that or renegotiate those purchase prices. So it's only what the appraiser thinks is worth based on recent sales. So that you can't change. It'll be what it'll be. And now they've created, because of what happened with a lot of bogus appraisals, a lot of distance between the realtor, the lender, and the appraiser. So, like, you never know who it is. You don't get to pick your appraiser anymore. You can't show somebody, send somebody the business. The banks pick them. And they usually get two on higher-end properties, too. So we can't mess with that. But the other three we can: character, capacity, and collateral. So character is simply your credit rating. How you have paid your bills in the past will be a good indicator of how you will pay your bills in the future, barring any catastrophic events. And we talk about that on Create Credit, because you can recover from a catastrophic event, and underwriters look at the most recent 2 years. So you could have had a hiccup 2.5 years ago where you lost your job and couldn't pay your bills for a while, but as soon as you got a job, everything was current and on time, and you fixed it. So that's not an issue. Then you have capacity. That's your ability to repay the note. That's based on your sources of income. So the more you make, the higher your sources of income. And then your collateral is how much skin in the game are you going to put up to make the lender feel comfortable for what they're going to put up. Part of what happened to our marketplace and what has precipitated our current economy is that people weren't putting any money down. They were doing 100% financing on property that they couldn't afford. Because they weren't verifying their income, they were overstating their income, which is considered fraud, by the way. They were stating their income higher than what it was in order to get into these properties that they couldn't afford. And without any skin in the game, the lender took the risk by giving you a higher than market interest rate. And the way we offset that is we did a lot of adjustable rate mortgages where you had a teaser rate that was like 3%, but then it went up to like 12%. And that's when people couldn't afford their loans, and that's when our mortgage market was falling out. So that's what was going on in that scenario. So what we need to pay attention to are these target ratios that are a combination of how much we owe on our character, you know, monthly debt service, versus how much we're coming in. And there are acceptable debt ratios that factor into that. Now, if you have kind of crappy credit, how the layers of risk work is if you have crappy credit, been a little lackadaisical, you had an issue, you can offset that crappy credit by putting more skin in the game, meaning a bigger down payment, more collateral, or you can make more money and buy beneath your means, so meaning you're not maxing out your ratios. We'll talk about that in a second. So collateral, by the way, is not just your down payment, but they require cash reserves left over. So if you're going to put $10,000 down on a property, and let's say the property is $100,000, that's a 10% down payment. You're going to need anywhere from 2 to 4 months' worth of mortgage payments in the bank after you make that $10,000 down payment to prove that you can service the debt once the mortgage closes. So that way it shows that you're liquid or solvent, if you will, that you have money there, that you're not totally tapped out after you make that. So if you're going to buy a house and you want to put 10% down on a $100,000 house, you need more than $10,000. And just for the sake of having easy math while I'm speaking, if your mortgage payment's $1,000 a month, which you can usually estimate anywhere between 0.75% to 1% if you're at 5% or 6% interest. So let's say with your homeowners association and all of your taxes and insurance and everything, your mortgage payment's $1,000 a month. So if your down payment is $1,000 and your mortgage payment is, or your down payment is $10,000 and your mortgage payment is $1,000, you're going to need at least $12,000 to $14,000 in order to buy this property. And that doesn't include money for curtains and couches and crap, the three C's that I refer to that kill every deal on credit because people go out and finance that stuff after they get approved for their mortgage, but before the loan closes, and then their debt ratios get thrown out of whack, and then whoopsie, then you lose your loan and probably your earnest money and all of that good stuff. So what we want to focus on is making sure that that first layer of risk character, as we learned from last week, is pristine. If you're applying for a mortgage, if you've already got your collateral down, if you've got your, you know, 10 plus your 14, or 10 plus your 4, you got your $14,000 in the bank, you said, I'm ready to go, you want to pull your credit first before you apply for this major purchase and check for accuracies, just like we did last week with Coco. Because if there are inaccuracies, you don't want them to come up with it because that already sets the bar for what interest rates you're going to get. So if you have anything that you need to clean up, and invariably there's something, because again, the credit repositories are only file storage cabinets. They do not verify the accuracy of the information. If you read the Fair Credit Reporting Act, it is up to you as the individual to verify that that information that they're reporting about you is correct and accurate. So you want to make sure that you pull your credit report first and review it and then make any necessary issues. There's nobody going to die if you don't buy a house today. Trust me. People think, oh, my God, I got to close in 30 days or less. No. You're putting the cart before the horse. You got to get the credit right so you can get the right interest rate and terms to be negotiated with your lender. And then you can go forward with your purchase. So we want to make sure that our character is right. And not only do we want to make sure that everything is accurate, but we also want to make sure, especially as we're looking forward to becoming real estate investors, we want to have no recurring debt, meaning you want to reduce or eliminate any car payments and any silly debt on credit cards from shopping and eating and all of that stuff that should never be charged and carried as a balance. If you're paying interest on those things, shame on you. We went through this already. We're living beyond our means. Because if you can't afford to pay cash for it, you just can't afford it, and you need to find another way. So we need to reduce and or eliminate, the goal is to eliminate, all of that extra debt. Now, I realize if you have student loans, those things probably aren't going to get paid off overnight. And if you have other mortgages, you're going to have to use the income from those properties to offset that. Now, what we're going to do is we'll do a special for members-only master's series program on tweaking specifics when you have more than one property and you're going to apply for another real estate loan to buy another investment property or a new primary residence. We will have a exclusive members-only interview on the website at www.unlockyourwealth.com for that to go over those specifics. But for general home ownership, you're going from renter to homeowner, these are what you need to know. Now, when we go to apply for this loan, we have certain ratios that we have to meet with our income to debt. And this is why I'm telling you to eliminate all of that silly debt. Lenders will only allow you to have 10 to 12%, depending on the type of financing you have, monthly debt in relationship to your income. So if you make $1,000 a month, and I'm doing this because it's easy, and your car payment is $100 a month, that's 10%. And if you have credit cards on top of that, if you have student loans on top of that, it's going to eat away at your affordability because they only allow you to have 10% debt, and they only allow you to have a maximum of debt with your income in relation to your mortgage and your credit card debt and all those other debts on your credit report. And that is capped at 36%. It's 41% if you go with government financing. But if you're at 36%, that means you can only have 26% for your mortgage payment of your monthly amount. So if you make $1,000 a month, the most your mortgage payment can be is $230. Now but at a max financial outgo of $360 or a 36% back-end ratio. So if we have more than 10% debt, it's going to eat away at that mortgage payment. It's going to lower our affordability. That's why I say you got to have no debt. So if you have 20% of your monthly income going out, that means only 16% of your monthly income, or $160, can go toward a mortgage payment. So instead of buying a house now or stating your income and overinflating it, which those loans really don't exist today, what you need to do is reduce your debt so you can get your affordability back in line. Now, if you want to see where you are, this week's featured strategy is our Know Your Ratios affordability worksheet. And it's going to be on the website after the broadcast, www.unlockyourwealth.com, and you want to click on Featured Strategy. Also, we have a great new Coco Brown page, by the way, so you want to check that out too. But that's what you want to look at for your featured strategy is, where am I? Work the formula and see where you are and then see where you need to be. The strategy is incredible on how to calculate that. And I've got the ratios all set out for you and the process, the math process that you go through step by step to calculate what your targets are. And that's the key. So for this week's key for our nuts and bolts of Remember Real Estate, our key statement is, I know that all millionaires have real estate holdings and may have a majority of their wealth in real estate investments. And if I desire to have true and lasting wealth, I must own tangible income-producing assets like real estate to diversify my holdings. Our key affirmation for this week is, I am a successful real estate owner and investor. We say our affirmations several times throughout the day. We say them first thing in the evening to set our subconscious mind up to work on all of these things, creating new neural pathways throughout the night to bring these items into fruition during our daily lives. And then first thing we do when we wake up, we don't kiss the spouse, we don't let the dog out, no, we pull out our affirmations and say them again out loud to focus our conscious mind on our higher purpose of the day. And then anytime we encounter negativity, we want to pull these out after that negative encounter. Don't let anybody rain on your parade, because what we think about, we bring about. And we refocus ourselves on our higher purpose of the day by going through our affirmations yet again. And finally, your key action item for this week is to visit the website, www.unlockyourwealth.com. Download the featured strategy and find out where you are with your finances and how close you are to real estate investment. Set your targets to 26 and 36 for your ratios, 26% of your income gross monthly for your mortgage payment and less than 10% personal debt. Those should be your targets to begin with as you create the opportunity for homeownership and you can move from renter to homeowner seamlessly. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Thanks to my fabulous Investors Edge guest, T. Harv Eker, who will join us again next week. And then we also thank you, Coco Brown, for participating again, working so hard on yourself to create financial independence in your life. And as always, join us on our Tuesday show for our Millionaire Nuts and Bolts from Unlock Your Wealth Radio to start your day the millionaire way. Download this past week's episode on time management and start your emergency fund with our midweek update from this week if you missed it from last week. We have so much more in store coming up. I can't believe it. We are winding ourselves down. Forget the perfection principle on tap for next week, as well as T. Harv Eker. I can't believe we've got such a great offer from him, too. So remember that if you want to participate in his Millionaire Mind Intensive for free, you and a friend or spouse or loved one, visit www.millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth, www.millionairemind.com. millionairemind.com/unlockyourwealth for your special offer and your free tickets to T. Harv Eker's Millionaire Mind Intensive. Thanks so much for joining us today. You've been listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, and you make it a millionaire day. Thanks so much for joining us, and here's to your financial independence. Finally, financial freedom can be yours.